Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, To What Will You Give Yourself This Christmas? The text is from the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verses 3 and 4.
I prayed for you this morning in your pursuit of examinations. I hope it's going well for you, and your success will have everything to do with how well you have prepared, not just in the last hours as you crammed, but all semester long. You can't expect to reap a crop where you haven't sowed, and I hope you've been sowing some good, diligent seed all semester long, and that you will have an abundant crop and have great cause for rejoicing. Let me encourage you by the story of little Angela Baker. Angela's a sweet little girl who graduated from here a year ago, last spring. I'm not telling you anything Angela doesn't tell, so please understand that I'm not betraying any confidence of hers. My wife and I saw her in October in England, where she is serving the Lord as a short-term interim missionary. Angela, at that time, told us that she had three little gypsy children who were going to this small school where she was teaching in connection with one of the churches pastored by a GFA missionary, Mr. and Mrs. Tom Dotson. And these three little gypsy children were illiterate. They had not done well because they couldn't read, and they were just going to be dropouts in society, maybe criminals. Angela took those children. She has now taught them to read. They're doing very well, and she's pouring her life into those three children. But just the other day, the principal of this small school resigned. Angela's now the principal of the school. They have about 15 or 20 students in the school. Maybe the unique part about all this is that Angela barely graduated from BJU. And she will tell you this. She told us. She said, you know, I really struggled academically. We knew Angela well. She waited tables for 7 or 8 years while she was here. And in the summertime, she, being a day student, could have worked anywhere in town, could have worked during the school year anywhere, but she chose to work in the dining common because she loved serving students and faculty and loved the dining common and contributing there the best she could. Some of us got to know Angela well through that. We're so proud of her. She told us the other day when we were over there, she said, you know, I did not know until the night before graduation in May that I would be able to graduate. I struggled. I was right on the borderline with my final exams. I tried hard. I worked hard. I did the best I could. And she really did. The teachers worked with her, and she was thankful for that. And she graduated, just barely, serving God faithfully and effectively. Imagine now, she's the principal of this school. I say that for the encouragement of you that may be struggling, that may be wondering if you're ever going to make it, if God can use you, if there's any light at the end of the tunnel, any life beyond graduation, if it's even worth the effort. It certainly is. And Angela, if she were here today, would be the first to testify to that. We're so proud of her. In the Mission Prayer Band publication, the quarterly publication called Beyond, by the way, it is an exceptionally fine publication. I appreciate what Nathan, the editor, did and all of the staff that worked with him. It is of great quality, good material, riveting reading material. I enjoyed this past issue. There was one quote in there about Spurgeon that really impressed me. A student said to C.H. Spurgeon, "Will the heathen who have not heard the gospel be saved?" Spurgeon's reply, quote, "It is more a question with me whether we who have the gospel and fail to give it to those who have not can be saved," end quote. And I think that has great import for all of us. What are you planning to do with the gospel this Christmas? We had some of the finest messages last week about our responsibility and obligation to give the gospel that I've ever heard. They were wonderful messages. greatly used of God. The question is, as Spurgeon asked, can a professing Christian be saved who has the gospel and will not give it? Is it possible that any person who is saved, who knows the gospel, is it possible that he will not give it? Searching question. One last thing before I get to the message. I mentioned when I took the offering Saturday night at the Vespers, beautiful Christmas Vespers. I mentioned a taxi driver that my wife and I rode with in New York Friday before last. A Russian who'd been in this country for 20 years. And I asked him if anybody had ever introduced him to Jesus Christ in those 20 years. He said, who is this Jesus Christ? I don't think I've ever heard of him. I said, you mean in 20 years nobody's introduced you to Jesus Christ? He said, no, it's not a name I'm familiar with. Who is this? Proceeded to tell him. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I think maybe I've heard something about that. And then he said, you know, you are greatly privileged in this country to know these things. We in Russia have never heard them. That pierced my heart and broke my heart. And then he said in the process of the conversation, who's going to win this election? Talked about all this nonsense down in Florida. I said, whoever the Lord wants to win it will win it. And I don't know who that is. And he kind of stuttered a little bit and said, well, I guess you're right. And the next day I came home, and in the process of having my devotions, I came across this verse. Must have seen it hundreds of times, but it just jumped off the page, probably because of that conversation the day before. But in Daniel 4:25, it says, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I like that. The next verse says, the heavens rule. I like that. You know what? The Lord's in complete control of all that's happening before our eyes. He will give this election to whomsoever he will. And I'm not sure, but that whomsoever that is not going to be the stuckee. Frankly, who would want it? Who would want to have to pull this divided country together or try to make some kind of sense out of the chaos that rules in our country today? The Lord will give it to whomsoever He will. You know what? We don't need to fret. We vote the best we know how to vote. The rest is in God's hands. And we can be absolutely content and even joyful that the Lord's will has been done. Whether it's our choice or not, we can be glad and joyful that God's purposes are being accomplished, for He has given it to whomsoever He will. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Hosea chapter 5? This word from Hosea the prophet is to Israel, the northern kingdom, sometimes called Ephraim. He says in verse 3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me, for now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. He's speaking here about both physical and spiritual whoredom. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. The question here to Israel is, to what will you give yourself? The word frame there means give or assign or designate. To what will you assign yourself, Israel? And so the question for us today is, young people, to what will you give, assign, or designate yourself this Christmas? The word doings here means acts or practices. It could be read this way. To what will you give your acts or practices? To what will you assign and designate your acts or practices this Christmas? The message here to Israel was, if you do not by your choice frame your doings or give and assign and designate your acts and practices to seek the Lord, the spirit of whoredoms, which is in you, will be the thing you give yourself to. It was the spirit of whoredoms that had gripped Israel, that they had to willingly turn from before they could have any blessing or presence of God in their life. Look at it this way. A man chooses to be faithful and loyal to his wife. He frames his choices, his acts and his doings in marriage to be loyal to his wife, or he will be possessed with a spirit of whoredoms and unfaithfulness to his wife and disloyalty to her. It is a matter of his choice that determines whether he is loyal to her or whether he lives a life of whoredoms and disloyalty. The Bible is telling us here that those who profess Christ, you and I who profess Christ, we must be loyal to our God and turn from physical and spiritual adultery and move toward Him, or we will live our lives in physical and spiritual adultery. Think about it just a minute. You may have read or heard on the news this last week that a man here in Greenville killed a highway patrolman. The man is believed to be a bank robber who was being sought. Think about it just a minute. That man could have chosen to be a missionary. Could have chosen to be a Christian school teacher. Could have chosen to be any number of honorable things. But he chose to be a bank robber and a killer. By the way, I understand that that man at one time professed to know the Lord. But he didn't choose the Lord. Israel professed to know Jehovah as their God, but they made no move toward Him. Instead, they lived in their adultery and their idolatry, and God had a grievance against them because of it. They had no thought or desire to turn, to choose by their acts, to turn to God from the spirit of whoredoms that possessed them. They were defiant and obstinate in remaining what they were. Their bias was toward evil. Most of you profess a change of heart, that is, a conversion experience. Most of you profess that. But if it's real, it must be followed by a choice to turn unto the Lord from the spirit of whoredoms that grips the unconverted and the ungodly heart. There must be a change in acts and practice that follows the conversion, if it's really a conversion. Young people, your fleshly bias this Christmas, mark it down, your fleshly bias this Christmas is toward whoredoms. We live in a sex-crazed generation. We live in a sex-saturated generation. It's on the internet. It's in the movies. It's in the music. It's in all the entertainment. It's in the conversations. It's in the advertising. It's in your face. And your fleshly, sinful bias will be toward that. Just as Israel had a fleshly, sinful bias toward the spirit of whoredoms, it was in them to be this way because of their sin nature. The spirit of whoredoms is in all of us. And if we don't make a conscious determination to frame our doings, that is to give and designate our acts and practices to the Lord, and turn from our spirit of whoredoms will dictate our actions and our practices at all times in our life, certainly during the Christmas time. Some of you want to live right for the Lord at Christmas. Some of you want to do right. You really want to. But you know the spirit of whoredoms is in you. And I just don't mean absolute, literal, physical adultery, though it might mean that, but I mean a fleshly inclination of life. An inclination to fleshly practices and indulgences. It's in all of us. The only thing that keeps a man faithful to his wife and out of literal adultery is a determination to frame his doings, that is, to give his acts and practices in faithfulness to his wife. And we who love God must make a conscious giving of our acts and practices to turn from the spirit of whoredoms that is by nature in all of us, and instead turn unto the Lord. There's a turning from unto here. Some of you have claimed to turn unto the Lord in salvation, but you've never turned from the spirit of whoredoms that was in you before your salvation. Now, you say, okay, I want to do this. Well, how do I do it? How do I frame my doings, my acts and practices, so that I'm biased toward the Lord and not biased toward the spirit of whoredoms, which is in me? How do I change the bias? Look in your Bibles real quickly at Colossians chapter 3. There are many passages we could turn to. Let's just turn to this one. I'm speaking to you now who genuinely want this Christmas and for all of your life as a professing Christian, you want to make conscious choices that are right and bias toward your Lord. You know the potential of sin that is in you, and it frightens you, as well it should. If you don't run scared of your sin nature all the time, you're going to take it for granted, and it'll rise up and defeat you. You say, I'm biased toward pleasing the Lord. It's the thing I want. I want to choose to give my acts and practices to that kind of a life that will enable me to turn from the spirit of whoredoms that is a part of my sin nature and that I fight against every day of my life. And I want to turn my doings, my ways, unto the Lord because I am His. How do I do that? Verse 1 of Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, that is, if you are alive in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's the first thing to do. Seek those things which are above. Carry with you in your consciousness every day of your life, I am redeemed from above, I am made a citizen of the kingdom which is above, and there are certain marks upon those citizens which I want on my life. I want a life that is marked as being born from above, because that's where my affections are. And that brings us to the second point here. Set your affection on things above. And that is, set your mind, that's what the word affection means, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. There are some of you who have a bias toward your sin nature, and you've already set your mind upon the pursuit of sin this Christmas. You haven't been there yet to do those things yet, but you've set your mind to do them. There's no hope for you. I'm not speaking to you. Only a genuine conversion or a genuine repentance can change you. But I'm speaking to those who've set your bias to doing right. Your heart is really with the Lord, but your sin nature is your worst enemy that you carry around in you everywhere you go, and I do too. How will we ever overcome the spirit of whoredoms that is in us? It is by framing our doings, by giving our acts and practices to turn from the spirit of whoredoms unto the Lord. We do that by setting our mind on things above, by seeking those things that are above, that is to please the one who is above, to lay up treasure above, to live with a consciousness that this world is not all, but heaven waits, and the judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus, waits. And that what I do down here will have consequences for that which is above. Negative or positive consequences. Therefore, I live with my mind set above and not upon the things of this world. And verse 5 says, I mortify or put to death the flesh. And it names it there. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That means depraved passions. Evil concupiscence, that means forbidden cravings. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Those things are in me to do. That's the spirit of whoredoms that is in me. But I put it to death. I don't deny that I'm bent that way. But I don't indulge myself in those things that would allow those cravings and that sin nature to be fulfilled. I put it to death. Paul said, I die daily. It's not a one-time thing. It's a conscious every day. I am the Lord's. I seek those things which are above. My mind is set above. I'm not going to let this flesh, the spirit of whoredoms in my flesh, destroy me. And then it says, put off all of these, beginning at verse 9. Put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying one to another. It says, throw those clothes aside. They're dirty old filthy rags. Don't put them on you. But put on these, the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. This describes the new man. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're talking now how to frame your doings, how to give yourself to those acts and pursuits and practices that will enable you to turn from your spirit of whoredoms unto the Lord your God. Verse 15 says, be thankful. You'll never succeed in this effort if you do not carry with you always a conscious thankfulness. Lord, I am saved. I am redeemed. I am bought with your blood. I am in your family. Lord, thank you. But by your grace, I'd be hellbound. But by your grace, I'd be in bondage to my sin nature. Lord, but by your grace, my life here would be a miserable, worthless existence. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's a big part of living right and doing right. Verse 16 says, be in the Word. Let it dwell in you richly. And verse 17 says, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Don't do anything this Christmas or any other time in your life that you cannot give thanks to Him for, and you would not do if you knew He was right there with you. And He is right there with you. Do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anything you can't do in the name of the Lord Jesus, you don't have any business doing. You go out on a date, need to have a word of prayer. Lord, we're your children. We want you to be glorified in our relationship. We know that you're here with us on this date. You're our chaperone. And we want our activities and our conversations to be in your name and for your sake. It will totally change the tenor your relationship and behavior. You want to frame your doings. You want to give your practices and acts to the Lord to turn from the spirit of whoredom so it doesn't destroy you, so you can turn unto the Lord from that sin nature. This is the way to do it. The Bible doesn't tell us to do it. It tells us how to do it as well. May I remind you in closing that God has a response toward His people who refuse to give their acts and practices turn from the spirit of whoredoms unto Him. God has a response towards such people, and there are such people sitting right here today. You're scorning everything I'm saying. In your heart, you're saying, this is stupid. No way am I going to frame my doings to turn to the Lord. I like the spirit of whoredoms, and that's what I'm determined to pursue. Apart from repentance and salvation, there's no hope for you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who do love the Lord and want to do right and find it hard to do right. And that's most all of us in this room. God has a response to those who will not frame their doings to turn unto Him from the spirit of whoredoms. It's found in Hosea, this same chapter, verses 14 and 15. Look at it. I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away. None shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. God said, if you will not frame your doings, and you're a professing Christian, you will not frame your doings, you will not give yourself to acts and practices that will turn you to me and away from your spirit of whoredoms, if you will not do that, I'll be like a lion to you. I'll tear you. And after you're torn and a bloody mess, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to leave you in your pain and your affliction until you're in such misery, you'll finally call on me and seek my face, and then I'll come back and heal you, take care of you. God loves you too much, if you are His, for Him to do otherwise. Think of it. If you will not frame your doings to turn to the Lord from the spirit of whoredoms, what God's going to do? After He tears you and leaves you in your misery, He'll turn away. His back will be toward you. He's going to walk away. And all of the consequences of the spirit of whoredoms, all the misery, the wreck and the ruin of life that it brings will be yours. And there'll be no help from Him. I don't think that's really the choice you want to make. Let's stand and pray together. Dear Lord God, in Your love and mercy, You have given us to understand hard truth. Hard consequences, which You will allow because You love those who are Yours. Dear Lord God, for everyone in this room who does not want the spirit of whoredoms that is within us to rise up and destroy us this Christmas, give them an understanding that by their choice, they must seek loyalty and give themselves to You. Give their acts and their practices to You in order to seek You, to turn unto You. Lord, the majority here want to do that. And You've told us that that's what we're supposed to do. And You've told us how to do it. We pray for victory in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.